This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon, and into what stuff actually means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but I travel a lot so sometimes I'll miss a week. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. Dynamic data has grown into a buzz phrase in the digital signage industry, with lots of talk about how the ability to automate and visualize data results in relevant, always updated, and fresh content on screens. It's relatively new to many companies in this industry, but for a few, it's old hat. A little company in the Canadian tech hotbed of Kitchener-Waterloo has been doing dynamic data for a quarter century. Bannister Lake's roots are in dynamic graphics for broadcasters, and that's still a big business. But the company also does dynamic data for digital signage, and it's growing that business. If you watched any of the big matches at the US Open tennis tournament on TV last fall in New York, you saw an amazing set of LED displays at the venue showing graphics and stats. That was Bannister Lake under the hood. I spoke with industry veteran Vern Friedlander, who's now a part of the Bannister Lake team. So Vern, I genuinely don't know a hell of a lot about Bannister Lake other than that you aggregate data and you enable dynamic graphics and tickers. So as I often say, can you tell me what the company is all about and what you guys do?
Yeah, absolutely, Dave. So Bannister Lake, the company's roots are in broadcast television. And we are the, I guess, brains behind tickers that appear on television. So if you see the lower third crawl that goes along the bottom of the screen, or you look at full frame financial graphics, some sports related graphics, also interesting things like elections, for example. Mm-hmm. So we pride ourselves as live data and real time data experts who provide the tools so production people, editorial people can moderate, edit, blend, and customize real-time data and static data any way they need to in terms of editorial and business specifications. And then that data is then sent out through the product's API so that it can be visualized by a graphics engine. And the same workflow applies to digital signage as well.
So is it your graphics engine, or are you providing the kind of the structured feeds that somebody else can use it?
Actually, both ways.
Okay.
So we do have our own HTML5 renderer, mm-hmm. So that we can do it ourselves. But the API is pretty robust and can send out data in all of the popular data formats that can then be picked up by all the popular broadcast graphic engines or by a digital signage system.
Okay, so you aren't necessarily providing the end product for somebody who wants to have a digital signage network, but there may be a digital signage network that wants to use a lot of dynamic graphics, and whoever they work with as a CMS isn't real good at that. Would that be one way to explain it?
Yeah, that's one way to explain it. We can do our own digital signage management or set up a digital signage network, but our specialty is in the live data side of things. So if it is a digital signage system that is very reliant on real-time data, or if it wants to reach an audience that is, you know, very interested in real-time news, weather, financial data, and really concentrate on that type of editorial, then we're a really good fit for those kinds of systems.
So it would be in cases where this is it's not necessarily going to be an elaborate schedule with a lot of targeting and everything else that you would see in other digital science systems. It's going to be more a fixed screen that's just going to have live data kind of rolling through it, or real-time data.
Well, kind of, because it's we're actually, if you think of us more as a CMS for live data, so all of those live data feeds that are coming into our solution, which is called Chameleon, by the way, all those live data feeds coming in can be scheduled, and then through the API, they can actually be directed to very specific endpoints. So it could be directed to a certain group of digital signs, or it could be strategically distributed depending on the business needs. And we can also mix in advertising as well. So ad content can be married to the outgoing data feeds as well.
So I've often run into companies that they do a particular thing. And in your case, you know, you're providing it for broadcasters and so on. And they kind of find their way into digital signage as well, because it's not that hard to go that extra step to develop a CMS. Is that kind of what happened here?
Again, sort of the roots are in broadcasting. And I think what had happened in the broadcast world was, you know, and I think the same applies in digital signage, it's pretty straightforward to read a single RSS feed or a single XML feed. But if you want to do something more than that, if you want to blend multiple XML feeds, or if you want to schedule those XML feeds so the data content, you know, only appears, you know, between certain hours of the day and then switches to something else, or there's a completely different layout, you know, that occurs at different day parts, that gets a little more tricky. And so that's where we step in. And so we provided this service, we continue to provide the service in the broadcast world, and we've done it for many years. But we're finding more and more digital signage clients are interested in this sort of product and these sort of capabilities. I think that what's happened is other digital signage companies may be able to do some of this, but it requires a lot of custom development for that to happen. Whereas we have a solution in a box, basically, that does all of that.
Right. I think of a news headline, if you want to point to a particular RSS feed for a news provider and have a crawl on the bottom of your screen or whatever, that's pretty simple. But you think about things like elections, where there may be 400 different feeds coming in, and those feeds are cycled through, and there's dynamic charting based on those feeds and everything else. That's a whole nother order of magnitude to do all that.
Right. And if we extend that idea to news, financial, sports, things get really interesting, because with news feeds, we're able to, create a mix of news feeds, which, might be, a certain number of BBC headlines followed by a certain number of CNN headlines, followed by a certain number of, AP headlines, for example, and becomes this customized data feed that can also be focused around certain subject matter. So, maybe it's a collection of political stories from a whole bunch of diverse sources, or maybe it's a collection of, something very topical, again, coming from a bunch of different sources. So, we can handle that sort of thing. Likewise, when it comes to sports statistics, we can really get granular in terms of what data gets put out when and to what endpoints. So we can do some really cool things when it comes to really complex data sets and be able to focus editorially on subject matter that viewers are interested in.
Mm-hmm. Are you also licensing and kind of reselling the data feeds of news providers and financial information providers, or are you, is that something that the end user has to work out?
Yeah, the end user has to work that out. We're strictly a company that manages and aggregates that data and provides the tools so the end user can customize it. Now, we do have relationships with many data providers because we have to develop, you know, the readers and parsing tools. So we're very familiar with all of the popular data providers, but we leave it up to the end user to make their own licensing arrangements.
Is that a lot easier now that data is so widely used and there are so many APIs and everything that, that there's more commonality to the way this stuff comes from different providers, or is it still a bit of a Wild West?
It's still a bit of the Wild West. In fact, our developers, have to, use some of their expertise to reorganize data and restructure it in ways that provide the end user with the maximum flexibility to parse and customize those data feeds. So yeah, there's still quite a bit of work to be done, but we've gotten really good at it and really, really fast at it as well.
So Vern, there have been other companies that started with broadcast graphics. I'm thinking of, Tightrope down in Minneapolis, Capital Networks in Toronto, X2O Media, your old alma mater, where they started with that, but then they became fully fledged CMSs. Are you kind of in the same realm, or would you describe what Bannister Lake does as being different from that?
I think a little bit different than those companies in the sense that our focus is really real-time data and static data and how that data gets visualized, how it gets managed, and providing the end users with as many options as possible in terms of how they work with data and how they want to customize it. We think that real-time data provides all kinds of exciting opportunities for digital signage operators, but there's so little development in that side of things. And we want to bring our broadcast expertise to the digital signage world.
So if I'm a quick service restaurant operator, I have 100 locations and I'm looking for a digital menu board, would it make sense to work with you, or is that really not your thing?
No, absolutely. It is our thing. So what we would do is we would set up a reader to read from their database in terms of all those menu items that are coming from them. And then using our tools, they can actually direct where that data goes in terms of their end users. So it's a very, very powerful tool, I think, compared to, well, again, because we specialize in it, it's a very, very powerful tool. But we typically will work with news, financial, sports type content. But from our point of view, data is data, right? And so whether it's coming from, from the AP or whether it's coming from a fast food restaurant, the same processes apply and the same workflows apply.
But the thing about a full digital signage CMS is it's got all kinds of back-end management tools to tell you what's going on with the display, with the player, and all those sorts of things. Do you also have that?
At this point, we don't. We kind of rely on partners to provide that piece of it. But with the right partner, we become a really best-in-class system in that, we're the experts on data, and we like to work with partners that are sort of best-in-class on those other aspects of digital signage. And together, it's a very, very powerful combination.
And I know you're in charge of partnerships, so who would be a typical partner?
Well, we're talking to a bunch of different people right now. I can't really divulge sort of, who we're working with at this time.
Yeah, but what kind of work would they do? Would they be other CMS providers? Would they be integrators?
They would be integrators. They would be companies that do indeed provide sort of that back-end support in terms of monitoring the health of the network, the conditions of the screens and the connectivity, that sort of thing.
Okay. So in certain respects, they could provide the full solution and roll in what Chameleon does.
Exactly. And I think, we're also interested in working with digital signage companies that lack this expertise. And I think this is where we could come in and, improve their relationship with live data.
And especially if they
have end users that are very reliant on real-time data, which I think there's more and more. I think in the world of digital signage, I think there's more and more clients and potential clients out there that are reliant on all kinds of diverse real-time data sets. And this is where we come in.
Right. So when you say digital signage companies, do you mean other CMS software companies?
Yes, absolutely.
So how would you work together? Would it be like an API, or would they put your stuff in a container?
I think we're open to, you know, all kinds of different arrangements. But it could work as an API. It could work as a container. It could work as some sort of joint partnership, you know, where our solution is OEM'd to them. We're open to all kinds of relationships.
The thing about being in broadcast graphics and providing stuff for broadcasters is elections only come around every 2-3 years, unless you're in certain countries like Italy, where they come every week or so. And for broadcast news and sports, I guess I would assume once you've kind of got that laid down and figured out, it just kind of ticks along and you don't really build on that account. Is signage a way that you can get more scale?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the broadcast industry is kind of interesting because, things like OTT, for example, you know, over the top, mm-hmm. And streaming media, I think there's all kinds of interesting opportunities there. There's all kinds of new services that are popping up that rely on real-time data, from mm-hmm. new financial channels to fantasy sports, betting channels, things like that, that are very reliant on real-time data and the visualization of that data. So I think there's those kinds of opportunities in the broadcast world. And even elections, if you look at sort of the U.S. where you have, you know, primaries and caucuses, and then you have midterms and you have local races, there is kind of a continuous cycle when it comes to elections. And I was actually, quite surprised, that the election business, the election work can be, quite continuous. Certainly looking at it internationally as well, but there's always an election somewhere.
This is true. Has it grown easier to do this sort of thing in terms of how much it tasks a computer? I'm thinking with old school broadcast graphics, you needed like Matrox cards and to have smooth tickers and so on. Is HTML5 making that easier?
Yeah, it really is. Absolutely. I think there's less computing power required mm-hmm. to get that kind of job done, for sure. I think that the Chameleon tool itself, is web-based and just doesn't sort of have that reliance on heavy computing. And also, keep in mind that often what we'll do is we will allow the end user to customize data feeds that then go out as an XPI. Go out through the API, and then the digital signage system or the broadcast graphics engine simply picks up the URL, mm-hmm. and there's just not a lot of computing power required.
Are there best practices for showing rolling and dynamic graphics? I mean, I'm somebody who for the whole time that I've been doing 69, I've been ripping into people who do tickers because I don't see the point in them in a lot of cases, and they often look terrible because the processor can't keep up. Is there advice that you provide?
Yeah, absolutely. We have a graphic design division, or we have some really good graphic designers who we work with, and there is a best practice. You know, there is a way of laying out the data in such a way that it's not only just more appealing to the eye, but it just makes sense editorially. And that might be, prioritizing, certain data feeds more than others, and giving them different kinds of screen prominence. The movement of data, I think, is often a controversial subject when you're talking to people, you know, like you just mentioned, you know, the crawl stutters or the crawl doesn't behave, you know, the way you'd like it to. So we're very conscious of that, and we're very creative, I think, when it comes to how that content gets laid out. And again, you know, it all speaks to the brand. It speaks to the viewing experience. It speaks to the editorial content that we're trying to communicate. So I think there's a lot that goes into it, and it has to be thought out. You know, one of my pet peeves is when a digital signage screen is just seems like it's just thrown together, you know, it's like we don't want to show any black on the screen, so we're going to lay it out, you know, in such a way that is prevents that from happening. And there's not a lot of like forethought that goes into the design and even into the selection of content. And I think, you know, I like to hope that things are improving in the world of digital signage in that regard.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You are likely challenged by your potential customers seeing demos for broadcast graphics are being conditioned watching, you know, the opening of Sports Center or various news channels with all these graphics going this way and that way and every which way, and having to try to explain to people what, you know, that's a very powerful computer at a head end doing all that. You're talking about a little Intel Nook or maybe even a system on chip processor trying to do the same thing. It ain't going to work.
Right, right. No, that's a really good point. You know, we've worked on sort of an array of digital signage projects that on one end of the spectrum, you know, strictly use, let's say, HTML5, but there's others that use broadcast graphic engines to display this kind of data. So it runs the whole gamut, you know, in terms of the presentation. We also do a lot of work in the world of esports as well, which is kind of interesting, where there's a lot of data that has to be shown to support the game action. And when it comes to the layout of that content, you know, the producers of those events are very sensitive to, you know, not taking away from the actual game action, you know, when you're adding sort of more editorial content. So, you know, all to say, you know, we have to be much more sensitive and creative when it comes to this sort of thing.
Are you seeing an opportunity to do things outside of what I would say is, you know, what you've been describing, the news and the sports and financial information? I'm thinking about production environments and workplace environments where there's a pile of KPI data and production system data running through these systems that would be nicely visualized on a screen.
Yeah, absolutely. We haven't taken on those projects yet, but we're very interested in that whole side of things. We think that, you know, the enterprise generates so much data, so much real-time data. You know, think of a manufacturing process, or think of a smart building, you know, that's recording energy usage, that sort of thing. And all of that has to be visualized in a dynamic, interesting way that actually means something to people, you know, gets people's attention, is actionable, that sort of thing. When, you know, certain thresholds are crossed, other data might appear. And we can do all of that. You know, we can set business rules to the data so that, again, when certain thresholds are met, or, you know, something goes wrong or that sort of thing, alerts are sent out or other data is triggered, you know, by that. So lots of opportunities there.
Yeah, I mean, this stuff seems like something that really ought to be happening in workplaces and back of house environments. Do you have any theory as to why it's not? Is it just difficult to for mere mortals to explain?
Yeah. I think there's a couple of things at play here. One is I think there's a feeling of being overwhelmed by all of this data and what to do with it and best practices to visualize it. I don't think there's a lot of thought that's been going on in terms of like, okay, we got this great data. Now, how do we visualize it to tell a compelling data story? I just don't think there's a lot of champions of that within the enterprise. So I think that's a role that we can play for sure. And then I think the other side of it too is that there isn't a lot of expertise when it comes to the sort of design and layout of those systems. Again, in a compelling sort of on-brand sort of way. And, you know, I like to think of data as a storytelling tool. And I think that the more sort of evangelical, you know, kind of process that we can add to this as an industry to promote the use of data and promote the visualization of data, I think it's better for the whole industry as a whole. And I think that I think the other part of it too, a third point I want to make too, is that there's a reluctance to customize those data feeds because I think the first impression people get is, oh my God, that's a lot of custom development. It's going to be really, really expensive. But there are tools like ours that are out there that allow people to work with that data and customize it and create these custom sort of subsets of data without a lot of heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one of the things I've seen is 3-4 years ago when the whole idea of dynamic data went beyond news ticker crawls and so on and the temperature outside.
Right.
And started to talk about workplace and so on is there were dashboards and you had tool sets like Gecko Board and so on being shown as, you know, look what you could do with this. And I thought that was interesting, but a dashboard on a big screen is, I think you were saying earlier, overwhelming visually.
Right.
There's just too much going on at once. And is that part of the issue is because you can do all these things, you can show all these charts and numbers and everything else at once that the people who are doing it are thinking, well, this is cool, this is amazing, but they're not thinking about the visual experience.
Yeah, 100%. You know, just because you can, you know, visualize a chart doesn't mean you should do it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there has to be this underlying editorial and business reason for doing it. And just because something looks cool, you know, doesn't mean you should just do it. You know, it has to have a deeper meaning and it has to resonate, you know, with the company's, you know, business objectives and communication objectives for sure.
This is a small company in Southern Ontario. How large is the company?
About 10 employees. Based, you know, just west of Toronto in the Kitchener-Waterloo area. But we've been around since 1994, so
oh, wow.
We have quite a pedigree. But again, mainly in the broadcast world, we're quite well known in broadcast circles. But just in the last, you know, few years, we've been thinking more and more about digital signage and starting to do some pretty prestigious projects in digital signage.
And what are some of those projects that you can talk about?
Yeah, well, we for 2 years in a row, we did the U.S. Open, for example, in New York City, where we took care of all of the in-venue digital signage around the tennis facility there.
Oh, with the giant LED walls at the dance?
Exactly.
Yeah, I saw that and thought, that's awesome. But I wondered how the walls are going to survive getting whacked with tennis balls at 200 miles an hour. But
Right. So that was an interesting project because we did that using Ross Expression graphic engines so that the data was all controlled and managed through our Chameleon software product. But then the outputs went to Ross Expressions, which then fed the various digital signs around the arena. And you can imagine like the amount of data that we had to deal with. You know, there's almost 1,000 players participating. There's schedules, there were standings, there was weather, there was the speed of the serve, there was, you know, all kinds of data sets that we had to manage. And then strategically, the producers, you know, certainly wanted certain data sets to go to some signs, but not to others, or subsets of that data to go elsewhere. So because of the API functionality on Chameleon, we were able to do exactly that and send data sets to different destinations.
Mm-hmm. There would have been a lot of time invested in getting that right in year one. So I'm sure year two was one hell of a lot easier.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, absolutely. We also recently did a project for, well, we do ongoing work with MLSE, Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment in Toronto. And what they do is they receive very, very complex data sets from the NHL and from the NBA. And using our tools, they can parse that data in an unlimited number of ways and send that data to lower third type graphics that appear on digital screens within their VIP suites. So some pretty cool things there.
Yeah, and that's not just the score or...
No, not at all.
This is like player analytics and all kinds of stuff that real hardcore nerds would be into.
Exactly, exactly. Like, you know, seconds of puck possession or, you know, all kinds of things like that. And I think that, you know, for real diehard sports fans, that really enhances the whole experience. And then, of course, for MLSE, it provides a way to sell advertising around that kind of data.
Mm-hmm. You would think this would be perfect for, you know, the ultimate statistics nerd sport of baseball.
Yes, that's a good one for sure. And try to extrapolate that now to things like fantasy sports or wagering, you know, on fantasy sports. Mm-hmm. Then you get some really interesting stuff and the world of esports as well. You know, there's all kinds of data that's available for esports, whether it's data coming off the API of the game itself, or whether it's standings and news and player biographies and, you know, that sort of thing as well.
Right. So if I am working with Bannister Lake, am I buying enterprise software? Am I renting software as a service? How does it all work?
Yeah, so we work both ways.
Okay.
So, you know, for certain projects that, let's say, are short term, like, let's say, the U.S. Open, you know, it takes place over, you know, several weeks. Often a cloud instance, you know, will suffice to get that done. However, for broadcasters or for digital signage operators, you know, who are doing ongoing work, it might make more sense to actually, you know, license the software and have it either on premises or have it in the cloud, you know, as well. So it could work either way, depending on the nature of the project.
And I assume there's a lot of hand-holding with new customers, because this is not just a plug-and-play system. Like, you probably have to work with them quite a bit to get the data right and everything.
Well, there's typically an amount of time before the event where our developers will look at the data feeds that are available and will understand how they're structured and create the parsers or the readers, unless they're already in our library. We have an extensive library of parsers and readers already. But if an original one has to be built, then we'll build it. And it gives us a real thorough understanding of the data and the data sets. And then, of course, you know, working with the producers of the event or the digital signage operator in terms of what data they want to show when and where on the screen. You know, we do a lot of that before the actual execution of the event. And then, if we've done it right, then everything goes seamlessly. And it typically does.
All right. If people want to learn more, where do they find Bannister Lake?
Yeah, bannisterlake.com.
Clever.
Is our website. Yeah, thank you. And, that's the best place to reach us and learn more about us.
All right, Vern, thanks very much for taking the time.
Okay, thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the site and find scores of conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9. That's at 16-9.net. You'll find thousands of posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. I don't run a press release republishing mill. If something makes it on 16.9, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 16.9 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.